And
as a church,
one thing that we must always do is to follow the leading of God's Spirit.
Amen. If you take away God's leading in the local church, what you have is a social club. Amen. But take away God's leading from us, from the local church, what you have is a social club. It's no longer the local church. The local church is God's leading. Amen. Glory to God. So we're led to teach along this line. I know some of you are expecting us to do a Bible study. Yes, a Bible, a book of the Bible. Let's say Colossians. I know. But, you know, led this way. Amen. To talk about this. Glory to God. So, we're looking at what I tried to... A similar topic. We have something like this before.
When the believer gets to pray.
Hallelujah. When the believer gets to pray. And we are exploring the importance, responsibility of consistency in prayer and the hazard of not praying. Amen. We are exploring the importance, responsibility of consistency in prayer and the hazard of not praying. The hazard of not being consistent in prayer. So that's what should be our focus in this short exhortation, short teaching. Hallelujah. So when the believer gets to pray, Matthew 1:1. So I told us a good Bible student should observe how scriptures are written. A good Bible student is a good reader. So, and a good reader, listen, a good Bible student is a good reader. And a good reader must learn to observe. Observation is key. In reading, observation is key. So a good Bible student should observe how the writers of scriptures wrote for you to read. Must observe it. Hallelujah. Observe it. Especially the writers of the epistles and the synoptic writers. Amen. Now, Matthew opens up his writing by saying the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now we said, when he employs the use of the word generations there, is that word in the Greek Genesis. Genesis, used for the Genesis. So two things here. It says Abraham begat. So when you find the word the book of the generation, that phrase, book of the generations there, that phrase is the phrase in Genesis 5. Genesis 5:1. Amen. That's the phrase there. So that means Matthew is about to write about the incarnation of Jesus. It takes our minds to Genesis. Is that? He's writing about the incarnation of Jesus and it takes our minds to Genesis. Making you see that the New Testament section of your Bible, as we fondly call them, or that the epistles and the synoptic writers are not discarding the 39 books. Amen? No, they are not. But rather, that it shows that rather for you to understand the writers of the synoptics and the epistles, you have to read again the 39 books. They will point you back. So, Matthew will say the book of the generations. Genesis of Jesus Christ. So that means he calls the Genesis of Jesus. Making you not to be detached. While reading the story of Jesus, don't get detached from where he was writing from. Hallelujah. Don't get detached. Never, like I said to us in one of our series before, I said never did they teach you not to study the 39 books. In fact, I said, the writers of the epistles wrote the epistles when they were away. I said that to us, right? They wrote the epistles when they were not around. The epistles were not written. Paul wasn't writing the epistles when he was with the church at Rome. No. That was why in Romans 1:11 he said, I love to see.
Sadly, he wasn't with them.
Did you see that? Amen. He wasn't with them. So he will write to them. So the epistles were written when the apostles were away. But when the apostles were present, they don't need to write an epistle. What were they doing? They were teaching. Teaching from where? Scriptures. What are the scriptures? The 39 books. Did you see that? So the epistles were written when they were away. So we'll also get to see that. Say, I'm not going into what I'm going to teach you guys in Colossians.
So what will the epistles now do? The epistles were used to answer questions.
Did you see that? To answer questions. Sometimes to solve disputes, like the church in Corinth, like the church in Philippi. Amen. To sort out disputes. Sometimes also it's used to warn. Paul wrote an epistle to Timothy to warn him. Did you hear that? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So epistles were written when the apostles were not around. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. When the apostles were not around. That's why the epistles were written. So never did they tell you not to read the 39 books. Never were or was the 39 books said to have been done away.
Amen. But when I explore that, it is finished. What really is finished? Listen, it is finished. What really got finished on the cross? Definitely not the 39 books. What are following? Definitely not the 39 books. So, a good Bible student must observe, right? A good Bible student must be a good reader. A good reader is a good observer. You observe. Glory to God. Look at Mark. Mark said the archaeobite of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Look at Mark 1. Hallelujah. No, the Hebrew will put it like this. The Greek will put it like this. And Archaeomai, Euangelion, and Iasos, Isos Christos.
The Son of God.
But the thought I needed you to see. He put it there.
And Archaeomai, Euangelion, Isos Christos. What is he saying?
He's saying, because most of us say the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Good, but he calls, look at what he calls it. Actually, if I'm to do that, it's actually the beginning. It's actually the beginning, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to put it as. The beginning, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
If I was to put it, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
This is that. So he calls, what I wanted to see is what he calls the beginning. This is that. What he calls the beginning. He calls the Genesis the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Isn't that? That means what we have as gospel today. This starts today. Did you see that? It's from the Genesis. So, when we look at understanding the gospel, I told us in one of our series that the gospel, what we preach at the gospel has not changed. Did I tell you that? Amen? That's not changed. It's the same gospel right from Genesis. Did it change? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Did
it change? The same gospel.
Glory to God. So he calls the Genesis the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. So he teaches you how to, then he goes further rather to teach you how to read this synoptic.
He says, as it is written in the prophet. Right? And he goes straight to Malachi. I send my message that before you, which I prepare, is the way before you.
This is that. So he goes into Malachi and then tells you what to do again, to go again into Isaiah. Hallelujah. Say, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Hallelujah. So you shouldn't get detached.
That's what they are saying. Amen. En akilma, you are genuine on Isos Christus. That is what the Genesis is for. Isn't that? Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. So don't get detached. Observe it. Observe how they wrote. So if you're a good observer, you will observe the fact that they did check it out.
Right?
They reference it. So that means I will also go again and reread. Watch it. So that means what they were writing or what you'll find them write, we should always point me back to the 39 book. Or 39 books rather. Hallelujah. Hope you are with me. Amen. Luke 1. Luke 1. Verses 1. It says, "Forasmuch as many have taken an end to set in order the declaration of those things which are mostly which are surely believed amongst us. So even as they delivered them unto us." So Luke said he wasn't there. He says, "Which but he had it from who? Which from the beginning were eyewitness and ministers of the word." So he didn't get it from anybody on the road. He didn't get it from anybody that was there. Right? He called them eyewitnesses who are ministers. Jesus, so you can take it up. You can take it back. So if you were ministers there, what would they be ministering for? They are heard all the scriptures. The scriptures, right? So therefore, yet it's Luke also giving a background to his study to read the 39 books. Luke 24 shows us that. Luke 24, verses 27. It says, "Beginning at Moses and all the prophets." Jesus, so also give you a background to where he's writing from. Hallelujah. So none of them threw away the 39 books. So you shouldn't throw away the 39 books in your study of scriptures. Don't throw it away. Okay, enemy. Don't throw it away. In God, John 1. Can we be fast now? John 1:1. It says the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. So, again, it goes again to the Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Logos. Logos Dabar, right? In the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Akiomai. And Akiomai and Logos. Okay, don't worry. Let's not get to do that. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Fire bites my tongue. Amen. So, like I said, you shouldn't get detached. So that's how the root. Like you always keep going back to the root. Hallelujah. So, therefore, what did we say then? How do they write the scripture that? How do they write the scriptures up? Because they wrote the scriptures up. How do they write the story of Jesus up? I think someone should close that door. How do they write the story of Jesus up? I think they wrote the story of Jesus as scripture fulfilled. Is that? They wrote the story of Jesus for you to see that it's scripture fulfilled. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, we say, the origin of words will have its roots where? Within the 39 books. Is there no light here? The origin of words will have its roots within the 39 books. Hallelujah. Because that's where they write from. Glory to God. So something that an intelligent student should also observe is the fact that you should observe the fact that
since they were writing from the 39 books,
listen,
since they were writing from the 39 books, it therefore shows, right, that the 39 books, or you need the 39 books to further understand what they are writing for.
Okay, follow me. You need the 39 books to further understand what they are writing. So the 39 books is needed in understanding a full grasp of the
epistles and the synoptics.
Okay, follow me.
I will expand this on Sunday for you. So the 39 books are needed. Therefore, we can say that the context of the New Testament books is where the Old Testament books.
That is the context of it. Okay, you hear me? That's the context.
We can say the Old Testament book gives context to the New Testament books. And then the New Testament book gives a destination to the Old Testament books.
Hallelujah. So, take it again.
I'll take it again. The Old Testament books is needed to have a full grasp of what is in the New Testament books.
But to have a full grasp, therefore, that becomes the context of it. So the context of the New Testament books is the Old Testament books. The same way the destination of the Old Testament books is the New Testament books. Hope you understand that. Hope you understand that. Okay. Okay. So, since the 39 books give explanation and context to the New Testament books, I know over the years many times we say, oh, you cannot understand the New Testament, the Old Testament without the New Testament. No, that's how it's the other way around. The New Testament is an explanation to the New Testament. You heard that, right? But it's not always like that. Because the... let me put it like this. Which one is more? Which one is less? Which one is more? The Old Testament is more. The New Testament is what? Lesser. Right? But this is not a suitable answer. But we will understand what I'm saying. So keep on explaining about it. But you need about you to understand people. Right? So the New Testament books need the Old Testament books to give it context. Do you get it? To give it context. And the Old Testament books need the New Testament books to give it a destination. Do you understand this? So therefore, the Old Testament, yes, can be self-explanatory, but to know the destination of the Old Testament books, you need the New Testament books. Hope you understand that. Amen. To know the destination.
Where is it going to? What is it talking about? We need the New Testament books.
Hallelujah.
Okay, follow me. Go to God.
So let's go further. So, therefore the words, since it gives it its context, therefore the origin of words, like we said, will find its place within the 39 books, right? Right? We'll find its place within the 39 books. So therefore, we ought to ask ourselves the question, how are words used? How are words used then? Hallelujah. How are words used? So when you find out how words are used, guys, I'm making it between my eyes here. I said we ought to ask ourselves how our words use them. How our words use them. Because it's vital. I heard people say, no, forget about how words are used. Let the Holy Ghost give you the meaning. No.
No, that's the wrong way to read your Bible. Amen. That's the wrong way to read your Bible.
Very well. Amen.
Amen.
So, if you understand that God didn't bypass people's mind when they wrote, will make you know you have to go back to understand how words are used. You get me? God didn't bypass people's mind.
Some people think inspiration of God, but yet all scriptures give like the inspiration of God, therefore God will just make you clear. You get? No, like my name, come on! Name, capital, capital. No, that's not inspiration of God. Inspired by God is that God inspired them to write down. You hear that? Amen. Amen. What are you following me? God inspired them. God made them write. Was not God dictating what they were writing? Amen. What are you following me?
Glory to God. And I told us this before. I told us that God is going to use man's language, man's understanding, man's intelligence. That is part of inspiration. Hallelujah. It's all contained in inspiration. So therefore, God didn't bypass people's mind when they wrote. So therefore, inspiration of God will carry man's vocabulary. Inspiration of God will carry man's vocabulary. Right? Glory to God. Man's language. That is part of inspiration of God. We carry man's vocabulary, man's language, man's science. Man's science is the inspiration of God. Hallelujah. Oh, it will carry, listen, so if you carry man's vocabulary, man's language, man's science, will you also, it's the same inspiration of God, but will you find man's error in it too? You see that? Amen. And it is all inspiration. Now when I talk about man's error, you could easily dismiss some things in scripture and say, the head does not go, the sun does not stand still. It's the head that goes around the sun. You can dismiss it today. But there it was valid. God used it. You see that? You see that? Hallelujah. Amen? Someone said, how can Bible say the plains of the earth? The earth is not plain. The earth is... Anytime you want to, but I'm not the size. I'm not the size. Amen? 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 God will have to use it. How was the signs of your world? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus gave parables of parables of seed, the seed sower, and different grounds. He said, the one that fell on the rocky, on the wayside, one that fell by the wayside, the other one fell on thorns, right? Right? Now, watch it. Do you know today, when you bring that parable and weigh it with technology today, right? Do you know that you can have some wonderful, you can have seed planted among thorns today and the thorns will not choke it. Right? They have technology that can do that. They have technology that can even plant on soil that are not good soil. Just to fertilize that, it will grow well. Amen. Imagine you now carry such kind of, you know, the scripture is for agriculture. You will fail. Amen? Okay, follow me. But God is going to employ their size of their gifts, and that is why you have that in scriptures. It might not be sufficient today in the outside world, but it is the inspiration of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is why, to further better understand your scriptures, what you have to do to actually understand it, not just understand it, and to appreciate it, you have to sit in the seat of that audience. Don't sit in your seat today.
If you think you're sick today, you'll be finding fault. You'll be a fault finder. Amen? You will have to sit in their seat. So you have to sit in their seat. I have to sit in their science, in the science of their day. Isn't that? I have to sit in their culture. Okay, good. And then I will appreciate what is here, and therefore it will be easy for me to apply it in my world today. Come and follow that. Come and follow that. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So, because I can find man's vocabulary, man's language, man's failed signs. Amen. Signs that can be changed, right? In scriptures, that should make you see what scripture is about. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Scripture is 100% divine because it's inspired by God. It's 100% divine. And it's 100% human. Because it involves human
essence. Okay, I'm going to do it. Amen.
It involves human element. It's 100% human, 100% divine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, why? God communicated his divine assignment, his divine work through human agency, through human language, human thought pattern, human signs. Do you see that? Amen. So it's 100% divine because it's God's assignment, God's oracle communicated via human means. Hallelujah. You get that? Hallelujah. So, a good student must ask, while sitting in the seat of the first audience or the audience of the writer, how are words used in their world? How are words used in their world? And we saw that. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Over verses 1. It says, give ear, O my people, incline your ear to my words. 2. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter that sayings of old, which we've heard. Now when I say that sayings of old there means Genesis. You see that? So that means this is what you find from the Genesis. Hallelujah. Parables and that saying. That saying is used for riddles. Amen. We find riddles. Chida. We find riddles. In the which we've heard and have known and our father have told us. Did you see that? So we will not hide them from their children. So that means they will keep talking about it. Right? Showing now, here the reason for the parables and the dark saying, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works which he has done. Do you see that? So that means you see how God's oracle was communicated from the Genesis is via what? Parables and riddles. Because of speech. Hallelujah. And it used to talk about God's wonders. Amen. Hope you are seeing that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So you find figures of speech. So we can say Moses, in communicating God's oracle, will use figures. Figures of speech. Figures of speech. Many times, he would also employ it as their custom. You will use their custom, what we call custom, customary, sometimes customary to them, to talk about God's oracle. To talk about God's oracle. Hallelujah. But take note, the custom is not the original, but points to the original. Hallelujah. Remember, we are talking about when the believer gets to pray. Amen. When the believer gets to pray. We are looking at the importance, responsibility of consistency in prayer and the hazard of not praying. The hazard of not praying. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, an example of this will be when Moses gave them the Tabernacle.
Many times when I want to go further, I just have this restraint because I guess it's not time to talk about it.
Amen. But Moses gave them the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is to show heaven and earth. Right? Right? Glory to God. Heaven and earth. The tabernacle is used to show God's, the believer's authority. God's authority in the earth. Hallelujah. But we're not talking about that today. Amen. But it's to show heaven and earth. The union of God and man. That is God's plan in Genesis 1:1. Did you see that? So Moses will prefigure it with the tabernacle. What are we following that? With the tabernacle. I will say the tabernacle is a temporal what? Temple. So when the temple was to be built, the temple was built in a supernatural context. Just like the Garden of Eden was built on the mountain. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Was built with a supernatural context. Glory to God. So heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. So Moses was writing about to them about God's plan of his family in all the years, and he gave them a tabernacle. Now, why did he give them a tabernacle? Because of, why not something else? Why tabernacle? Now, why tabernacle? Because it's something you need to know. They just left where Egypt. Isn't that? And in Egypt they had the temples. Watch it. Now he couldn't build for them a temple because they were on a journey. Hope you are following that. So you have to give them a mini temple, which is a tabernacle, a temporal one. Amen. How many people like a moving shrine? Someone once said, but that just.
Yes. You get a moving tabernacle. Now, why a moving tabernacle? It's something you need to see.
Now, he gave them a tabernacle because they just left Egypt, and in Egypt they saw different temples. Now, what does the temple mean to them in Egypt? The temple is where they come into to meet with deity. They meet with their different gods in Egypt. Did you see that? So, when they get into the temple, the Egyptian temple, look and say, oh, they are meeting with the gods. Did you see that? So, Moses was talking about heaven and earth, God's plan together. Man, God indwelling with man. I mean, God and man together in one place. Right? One place. One place. God and man unite. Oh, Jesus. Not man. God and man together. Not in my head. Oh, you mentioned man united. God united with man. Thank you. But that's better, right?
You cannot be praising your enemy.
God united with man.
Amen.
Amen. So he was to show that. What do you think he would do? They've been there 400 years. What is? They've been away 400 years. Egypt. So they are used to the custom of Egypt. So one thing. So to further explain it to them, he will not give them the tabernacle. Did you see that? Can you see the tabernacle? Enter inside. What have you done? Oh, just like it is. Did you see that? We have unity. That's what God is doing. United. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. Heaven and earth. That is what God is doing. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, can you see why the psalmist is here to show the wonders of God? So, for them to further understand is that God wants to dwell with man. God and man, God wants to have his family with man. So, he built tabernacle. Enter. Did you see that? Amen. So, the tabernacle, that tabernacle, physical tabernacle, is that the real thing? No. But what's the point to it? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Another is the use of a custom called circumcision. We're exploring this teaching, some teaching, like I said, exhortation. Some of the
custom of the Jews.
And that's the reason for it.
Amen. Amen. We looked at some of these things last year towards prayer retreat when I taught you about when men pray, right? So it's a continuation of that teaching. Amen. When men pray. So that you know, prayer retreat is just around the corner. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So again, so they also had the practice of circumcision. Now, that circumcision is the Hebrew word mul, M-U-L, mul. It implies to cut off, to destroy.
To cut off, to destroy. We'll have a couple of readings here.
Amen. To cut off, to destroy. Look at Genesis quickly. 17. The first time we had that word circumcision or to circumcise. Genesis chapter number 17. We have quite a number of readings to do, long readings. Genesis 17 or verses 10. You see. Are you there? Hallelujah. The proverb says, it says, and this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you, and the seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised. Amen. Shall be circumcised. It was a practice in their world. Right? Practice in their world. And ye shall, this is where that practice started. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. So it was a token of the covenant. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised amongst you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house or brought in with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is brought with money must need be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. And he had broken my covenant. Did you see that? Hallelujah. And God said unto Abraham, for as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt no longer call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be. Now he blessed her and the rest. Hallelujah. Look at verses 24. See, and Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcising the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcising the flesh of his foreskin. In this self same day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house born in the house and brought with money of the stranger were circumcised with him. With them. Hallelujah. So,
watch it. This is the beginning of that ordinance. So, now, it was to show that they were part of the covenant, right? 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 Now, let's see. Their first king was circumcised. Now, we're going to see the reason for this.
Hallelujah. Now, this became a custom. Hallelujah. Became a practice in Israel to circumcise after 8 days. Right? Right? Glory to God. So let's go further. If you read where we read, let me go back. Let me track back a bit. 17. Go back a bit. It says, verse 13, it says, everlasting. Amen. Amen. So, with the better take the first king, right? So when you do what everlasting, you should just know that I wasn't talking about the physical stuff. But don't worry, we'll get to uncover that. Look at Genesis 21. 21 verse 4. This is for Isaac. Genesis 21, 4. It is, and Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Chapter 34. Genesis 54. Genesis 34. Genesis 15. It says, but in this we will consent unto you, if ye will be, if ye will be as we be, and every male of you be circumcised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So to circumcise, like I said, means to take off a foreskin, and it was a practice. You can see this. It was a practice. This statement was made by Jacob's children when their sister was defiled. Right? Amen. So it was like that became a practice for you to be identified with us. Right? As Israel, you must be circumcised. As the children of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, must be what? Circumcised. Hope you are following that. It became a practice. Look at Exodus 12, verse 44. It says, "But every man's servant that is brought for money, when he has circumcised him, he shall eat thereof." Watch it. Every man's servant. Now they're talking about a slave that is not an original Israel. Right? Once he's circumcised, he can now eat. Now remember, eating shows you are part of family. Do you see that? You are part of family. So it is now a practice. Amen. 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 So you have to circumcise to be part of family. Look at 45. It says, "A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof." A foreigner. Now, a foreigner is that one who is bought or who comes in and is not circumcised. Do you see that? Now, watch it. In one, and this is for the Passover. This is for the Passover. You can't eat it once a foreigner, except a slave who can't eat the Passover, except he's what? Circumcised. So circumcision is actually become a part of the Passover. Now, Passover is another practice. Did you see that? Another custom. Okay? Let's continue. Glory to God. It says, "In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad, out of the house. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn within," and he's not going to talk about the stranger, "and we keep the Passover to the Lord, let his males be circumcised, and then let him come here and keep it." You see that? So that means a foreigner can become an Israelite by circumcision. Watch it. A foreigner can become an Israelite by how? By how? Circumcision of the foreskin. A practice. Now you want to see how Paul is going to use this. Hallelujah. Amen. Our fucking prayer. Glory to God. Glory to God. You see where I'm going to with all this by Sunday. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when you take the Passover, you have to do this. Now in Leviticus 12, verses 3 into 4 was the ordinance. You find it there. Glory to God. But the destination of this practice that they had as a custom, right, was not Moses employed it, now given to them after they are out of Egypt, so that he can use it to teach them about what? God's oracle. Because the first time God mentioned this to Abraham was concerning his oracle, concerning his covenant. Hallelujah. And what he's saying, it must be the fourth king.
He was using it to teach something. You see that? He was using it to teach their heart. But Moses is going to employ it to show them what he has been saying to heaven and earth. To show them what he has been talking about is your heart. You see that? You see that? But rather than them to understand what Moses is saying, in Acts of Apostles chapter 15 verse 1,
we're going to see Moses. We'll get back to Moses shortly. Acts of Apostles 15 1, let's see something. Okay, that's 51. Are you there? Wait a minute, I'm checking something quick. Okay, he says, and certain men which came down from Judah thought the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Did you see that?
Did you see that? Except ye be circumcised.
So
they went back and they began to read Moses wrong.
They began to read Moses wrongly.
It said, ye be circumcised, you cannot be saved.
But was that what Moses was talking about in particular? No.
Yeah, because maybe they read before they can be an Israelite. He was circumcised. And they thought they were not circumcised. So they now place emphasis on circumcision to be born again.
Look at what Paul and Barnabas did. They didn't keep quiet. Amen. Amen. Verse 2. When wherefore Paul and Barnabas have no small dissension and dispute and disputation with them, and they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain of the men should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. Did you see that? So that means people see that we're saved though. That we're saved though. Right, if you read Acts, I guess that should be. They got saved though. They now said, except you are circumcised, you can't be born again. What kind of nonsense is that? That is false doctrine. Hallelujah. Amen. False. As false can be.
Because that's not what Moses was talking about.
In fact, in Galatians quickly, what's to Galatians? Chapter 3, but I want to check something. No, chapter 1 first, before we go to chapter 3. It is verse 5. And verse 6, he said, I marvel that ye are soon removed from he that has called thee into grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and will pervert the gospel. Now let's see what that perversion is in chapter 3. He said, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eye Jesus Christ, has been evidently set forth crucified amongst you. This I want to learn of you. We see here the spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. You see that? Just like in Acts, it came up here again. You see that? Just like in Acts 15, it's up here again. They are you so foolish? Have you begun in the spirit? Are you not being made perfect in the flesh? Did you see that? Amen. When it's talking about the works of the law, it's talking about their customary law. Did you see that? Custom. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. In verse 5, he said, therefore, he that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles amongst you, doeth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Remember when I taught you on Galatians, I said, when you see works of the law there, it's referring to what? The what? The customs, right? Amen. When you hear law of Moses, when you hear law of Moses, you ask which law? Amen. And how would you know? You would know what he's talking about by context.
Amen.
Context. You must read the context to know what he's talking about when he says law of Moses. Now he says verse 6, he says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are children of Abraham. Hallelujah. Glory to God, let's not get further.
That's not good for that because it's taking me over what I'm teaching.
I'm coming back there. Amen. Amen. Yes. So they have people who don't carry this practice of the custom into faith. You see that? Amen. So that means they have missed what Moses was communicating. Moses wasn't communicating a practice for them. He was using what they had as practice to teach faith in Christ. We're going to see that in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy quickly. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Deuteronomy 10. Watch it. So Moses used a norm, a practice that they had to talk about faith in God, not for them to continue it, right? But for them to see that this is what God will do. Just like the way you circumcise your foreskin of your flesh, God wants to circumcise your heart. You see that? Amen. Now remember, take note, circumcision is to cut off, right? To take away your foreskin. Now the foreskin is used for sin. The foreskin is used for hardness, thickness. We're going to see that shortly. So Moses is saying, God is going to circumcise your heart. He's going to take away thickness. He's going to take away sin. Amen. That's what Moses is talking about. He wasn't giving them a new practice. He's telling them, this is, so that practice that they had is now like a hypothema. This is that, to talk about what God will do. Look at Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10. I shouldn't miss it. Glory to God. Deuteronomy. 10. Don't mind me. And Deuteronomy is still coming. It's a new Bible. Deuteronomy 10, 16. It says, watch it, it says, verse 16, circumcise therefore, the what? Foreskin of your heart, and be no more what? Stiffness. So, stiffness is used for sin, not belief. Isn't that? Amen. So, where is the circumcision supposed to take place? The foreskin of your flesh or your heart. Did you see that? So, Moses knew what he was communicating. He was referring to the heart. Look at chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30. Quickly. Deuteronomy 30 verse 6. Verse 6, are you there? He says, and the Lord thy God and the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart. The Lord thy God will do what? Circumcise thy heart. And the heart of the seed, of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. So, if you are still thinking after reading yet, that is talking about normal circumcision of the foreskin, all around, then you are listening. Because that custom was to point to something else. Hallelujah. Okay, who will do it? The Lord will do it. Hallelujah. So where do you find the destination? On the cross. Resurrection. What are you saying now? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the essence of that custom that they had is where? Their hearts. So Moses was referring to their hearts. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Glory to God. Moses was referring to their hearts. The same way too, in Acts 15. Acts 15. Let's get back to Acts 15:1. Acts 15. Now, how many must know that the Paul, I mean Paul that had this great dispute with them, Paul himself was circumcised. So Paul is not against you being circumcised as a custom.
Do you know that?
Paul wasn't against circumcision. Amen.
I heard
of a certain denomination that they say they are starting with Paul and therefore they are not being circumcised.
Amen.
So what's the concern? In fact, God, we're going to read that now. 4 circumcised, the next chapter, Acts 16. 4 circumcised, Timothy.
Do you see that?
Amen. But you must draw the line between a custom and faith. Do you see that? It's a custom. Paul went for Passover. Do you get me? Amen. He went on vision when he was almost there on Passover. He said, okay, the church has Ephesus. That's in Acts chapter 20, because of trial. I'm not reading it. He told them he had to be in Jerusalem for the Passover. Amen. Okay, believe me. He had to go for Passover. So Paul went for Passover. But Paul knew the essence of the Passover. It was it of the custom. Amen. Amen. He just said, I must be around for Easter.
Right?
But he knew the essence of it. But yeah, he still went to his village and had Passover. What am I going to do? I'm not saying Passover and Easter is the same thing. I didn't say it. I already gave an example in our
age. Amen.
Amen. Because I know in Acts 12, they put Easter there. They lie, you like Passover. That is not Easter. Easter and Passover are not the same at all.
Glory to God.
Let me close. Amen. Amen. So,
I guess this light is, I don't understand.
So, Paul was circumcised. Philippians chapter 3 verse 5. You guys just said, he's circumcised. He was circumcised. So, he's not against you being circumcised. But what he fought against is saying you are not saved except you are circumcised. That means you have crossed the line. What are you hearing me? You have crossed the line. That is not what Moses was using it to.
Hallelujah. That was not what Moses is saying. Moses used a custom that they are aware of to talk to them about what God will do to their hearts. Do you see that? To their what? To their hearts. God will circumcise your heart. He will take away the foreskin of unbelief, foreskin of sin. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. That's what God will do.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Now Acts 15 has to be there. Look at the response of the apostles in verse 24. It says, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Do you see that?
Amen.
So they were able to clear that, not extensively, but to reasonable extent, that they didn't send them.
Amen.
We don't send them though. Hallelujah. Even if they were elaborating their response, but we don't send them. They say they are troubling your soul. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's crystal clear that the circumcision as a practice that they have has got nothing to do with what God has done in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. What Moses used it to talk about was what God will do in Christ. And how will you circumcise your heart? When you believe in what Christ has done. So when it talks about the heart, they're talking about to believe.
Hallelujah.
It's God wants to do with the foreskin of your flesh. But why the foreskin of your heart? Hallelujah. To believe. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So Moses will therefore say to them, the word is not is nigh in thy heart and in thy mouth. Do you see that? Amen. So it's your heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Paul dealt with what we're looking at today in Romans 4. Romans 4. Let us run through Romans 4 a bit. Romans 4. Are you in Romans chapter 4? Verses 5. Let's see this. I'll start with verse 6. He said, but even as David described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Now let me give you a background to the church in Rome. They had the Jewish church and they had both Jews and Greek, right? So they had disputes. We are the real Christians, you guys are pagans, and you know, all the stuff like that came up. So Paul sat them and began to write to them. And John will call it a lawyer's brief, right? Where he puts both of them inside, like a lawyer's brief in a hall, like this, and then he shows them, first of all, hit this one, that, those, they now brought everybody together. Amen. So that's what Paul has done. So just having that in your heart, that is a church with both Jews and non-Jews, right? So you understand what I'm saying now. Verse 7 saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Comment this blessedness. Now, watch it. Say, comment this blessedness upon the circumcision only. What? We say, is this still coming of the circumcision? Is that the Jews? Is that the Jews? Listen now, or follow me. Is that the Jews? Okay. Or upon the uncircumcision also. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness, right? How is it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? No! What is the circumcision?
Circumcision came in Genesis chapter 15. Abraham was not blessed to it in Genesis 15. So was this circumcised when he was not blessed or not circumcised? It wasn't circumcised. What are you following me? So that you see Paul's argument. Amen. Paul was dealing with a church. I guess, I want to put it like this. Permit me for this class. Paul was dealing with people who have listened to this doctrine in Acts 15. Right? And now they are now showing we are superior Christians. And Paul has said, come. And Paul understood the fact that the Jews, who they call their father, is who? Abraham. Watch it. So in essence, okay. You say faith was reckoned to Abraham, right? And say, yes, sir. When was it reckoned to him? When he was circumcised or not circumcised, all of them will go mute. Did you hear that? When you can say, when he was circumcised, they will say you don't know scriptures. Uncircumcised, let's let her not talk. Did you hear that? Amen. Glory to God. Hope you're following this conversation. And you know, and you see where it's leading to. Amen. So that means, what Paul is saying is, before your custom of circumcision, Abraham has become blessed. So you can't impose this now. Do you see that? Because what Abraham was blessed concerning was the same gospel. And the blessedness there is that he believed the law. So where was faith? Is it after circumcision or before circumcision? Before. Amen. So can we say Abraham was God saved, was God born again, right? As a Gentile. Because he was very circumcised to the Jew. Okay, following me. Did you see Paul's argument? Glory to God. Amen. So at this point, the Gentiles inside the hall will say, we qualify for confession. Amen! Did you see that? We're going to be checking that you qualify.
At least, we're fighting for something in Europe.
Amen!
At least we are still dealing with some people who have no choice.
We are here.
But Paul later came for the book. On account of what Paul is doing. Hallelujah. Verse 11. It says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. Isn't that? That he might be the father of all men that believe, though they be not circumcised, but that righteousness might be, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So he has just called, invariably, Abraham was born again a Gentile. That's what he's saying. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of, who are not of the circumcision only, but also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. But the promise that he will be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. I can put it through the righteousness of that faith. But if it was of the law, if they which are of the law be heard, faith is made void, and a promise made of none effect. But because the law worketh, because the law worketh wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So he brings everybody together again. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He brings everybody together again. Glory to God. Oh, we are following that. Oh, we are following that. Colossians 2. Stand it up. Colossians 2. We'll see the destination of what I'm teaching you, showing you. Colossians 2, quickly. Verses 11. Okay. Verses 10. It says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom ye are circumcised in Christ. Right? That's the line. You are complete in him, you are circumcised. Right? Yeah, circumcised. With the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of sin, of the flesh, by the circumcision of who? Of who? You see how we've been circumcised? Hallelujah! So there's the physical circumcision, which was customary and opposed to the new circumcision of the heart. You see that? Amen! So what was Moses teaching them? The circumcision of the heart. So I said, now the reason why we have to go through this route, I'll begin to see from Sunday, is the fact that the destination, you'll find the destination of what Moses was talking about many times, the destination will be found within what Moses has said, right? But also the New Testament books give things that full complete destination. Hallelujah. Full complete destination. Find the destination. Hallelujah. So when we say a man believe to get born again, when you believe you're born again, that is the destination of all Moses has been talking about. I will pray. Did you see that? Amen. The heart. Who are following me? So when you want to say, okay, the other way to do this is, what is the context of being saved? What is the context of faith? You will be what? Go back again to and you read it all through. The word is working in your heart. What are we doing that? So we say the context of the New Testament books is the Old Testament books, and the destination of the Old Testament books is the New Testament books. So we'll find out. We'll look at this when men pray. When men get praying. What is the importance of prayer? We'll
men, I will find it all true where the writings of Moses
and before it, you'll find it also within the writings of Moses, Genesis, so it's correct. You find that within the writings of Moses, and those things become, you find the destination as the instruction to pray all through the scriptures. Like I said, I implore us to listen to when men pray. Last year, right, to you that are here, listen to that message. It's two tracks,
track one and two. Listen to it very well. We'll pick it up from where we stopped there, and we'll look at it all together.
Learn something tonight. Let's run our feet as we thank the Lord.